Although it may seem rather unlikely, Skip Heitzig says that sometimes people are a lot like the common snail.
You know, a snail, though it's very small and very slow, is a very interesting creature because it's tough. It has a tongue that can saw through just about anything. Scientists say that the tongue of a snail can roll up like a ribbon and roll out pretty far, and there's teeth on the tongue. One scientist counted 300 sharp teeth on the tongue of a single snail that can saw through stems and leaves. So that tongue is a weapon. Well, what snails can do to stems and leaves, people can do to God's name with their tongue, with their speech.
Make the connection.
I'm sure you probably noticed that we have a lot of colorful metaphors that we like to use whenever we're surprised, disgusted, frustrated, or angry. They're more commonly known as swear words, and maybe you've even let a few of those slip off your tongue from time to time. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig explains why we need to be careful that God's name doesn't become a part of those colorful metaphors. But before we get started, we just wanted to share a quick word about Global Connectors. It's because of listeners like you that this ministry is being heard in countries like Mongolia. Plus, each month you're a member, we'll also send you a free resource. So through your support of The Connection as a Global Connector, people all over the world are getting the chance to hear sound biblical teaching, and you get free stuff. That's two great reasons to get signed up today when you call 1-800-922-1888, or you can learn more when you visit connectionradio.org. Now, getting back to our discussion about what we say, it's such a small thing, and yet it can cause so much damage. Stay with us as we find out how we can make sure our tongues aren't doing any damage to the name of God.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
If you'll open your Bibles once again to Exodus chapter 20, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he talks about how what's in a name is often very significant.
Paul Dickinson is a fellow who collects unusual names. He keeps a running list of all of the unusual names he can find, and I hear he's even published a book. Some of the names, according to Paul Dickinson, are names that turn out to be prophetic. For instance, a guy named Joe Bunt became a baseball coach. It fits perfectly, Joe Bunt. Then the Druff family, D-R-U-F-F, named their son Daniel, and he turned out to be a barber. So it sounds kind of odd, but going to a barber named Dan Druff. Now, I know, it sounds like a corny joke I would make up, but I didn't. It's real. He even points out in his writings that there's two men by the name of Mr. Goforth and Mr. Ketchum, spelled with a K, who became police officers. And, in fact, they became partners on the same police force. So you can imagine how that would sound in the station. Who do we send? Send Goforth and Ketchum. And he points out in his writings another couple of guys who sell church equipment. The first is, and their partners, named Mr. O'Neill, and the second Mr. Pray, P-R-A-Y. O'Neill and Pray, very convenient if you're selling church equipment, like Kneelers. Then there's the guy named Crumble, William Crumble, who's a plaster contractor. And I don't know how I'd feel about buying my plaster contracting from Will Crumble. Today, we're going to study the name of God. Or that is how our speech, our very mouths, can use and misuse the name of God. You know, a snail, though it's very small and very slow, is a very interesting creature because it's tough. It has a tongue that can saw through just about anything. Scientists say that the tongue of a snail can roll up like a ribbon and roll out pretty far, and there's teeth on the tongue. One scientist counted 300 sharp teeth on the tongue of a single snail that can saw through stems and leaves. So that tongue is a weapon. Well, what snails can do to stems and leaves, people can do to God's name with their tongue, with their speech. We're looking today at verse 7 in Exodus chapter 20. It's the third commandment. And if the first commandment says, worship the right God, and if the second commandment says, worship the right God in the right way, then the third commandment says, worship the right God the right way, even down to the use and the mention of his name. Even his very name is to be honored. Well, you'll notice that the commandment is a single verse. It's not like the previous commandments that have other verses that supplement and complement and explain. Just a single verse. It begins with a negative command and then a reason to keep the command. Verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, I'm going to read some other translations of that verse to just right at the beginning get the flavor and the meaning of this. The Knox translation, which is from the Latin Vulgate, puts it this way. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God lightly on your lips. The Amplified Bible. You will not take the name of the Lord lightly, frivolously, in false affirmations or profanely. And the Jerusalem Bible. You will not utter the name of Yahweh your God to misuse it. Now the word in vain or vain in the Bible means empty or emptiness. You know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, which means emptiness or meaninglessness. So to use God's name in vain is to empty that name of its value, its content, its meaning. So basically, the name of God should never be used, uttered, written, sung in any kind of empty, frivolous, or insincere way. Now, the Ten Commandments, look at them this way. They're like manufacturer's instructions. It's God saying, I, as the creator of all life, know how life ought to be lived the best. Here's the best possible life, and here's the basic building blocks. Here's the foundations. Here's my top 10. And most societies will agree with the Ten Commandments. Most thinking people will agree. Yeah, these commandments make sense for a good, full, happy life. Life works best when you don't murder people. Life works best when you don't commit adultery. Life works best when you honor your parents. Life works best when you don't steal. But this third commandment, some will have trouble with. What's such a big deal about getting the name right and honoring that name? Well, I'll tell you, it's very important. In fact, let's broaden it out. What we say, our speech, is very important. Because Jesus put it this way. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, your mouth is a barometer of your heart. So then this command has to do with careless speech that comes from an unguarded heart. Careless speech that comes from an unguarded heart. And the command touches three areas, and they're in your outline this morning. Names, words, and promises. Those are the three major areas that this commandment has to deal with. Names, especially the name of God. Names are sacred. Words are sacred. Promises are sacred. And I want to explain all those to you. Well, let's consider the name, since it says, You will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We understand something from names in the Bible, that people considered names to be somewhat sacred, and certainly the name of God. Now, some people say, well, what's in a name? I mean, why is God so hung up on get my name right? Don't misuse my name. Is it because God's saying, look, I'm bigger than you, I'm God. Don't banter my name around. You mess with my name and you've had it. Is God like the Cisco Corporation that sued Apple over the name iPhone because they said, we came up with it first, we're taking you to court over the name? Or like Puff Daddy, the rapper, who changed his name to P. Diddy and was sued by some record music engineer in England because he said, you took my name. I had the name Diddy first. And he took him to court over it. No, that's not God. Here's the idea behind the name. In biblical usage, name is equivalent to reputation, character, and authority. Reputation, character, and authority. And the ancient Hebrews always saw a vital connection between a person's name and a person's nature. And names do make a difference, by the way. One psychologist studied 15,000 names of juvenile delinquents. And he said those with odd or embarrassing names were in trouble four times as much as others. And I've heard some odd names, real names. The Turners named their baby girl Paige. Paige Turner. The Arm family, ARM, true story, called their son Carl. Carl Arm. Or how about this one? The Bacons called their son Christopher, middle initial B. So it's Chris B. Bacon. Well, I didn't make those up once again. Now, in the Bible, you'll notice that names that are given to children, boys or girls, often reflect the desire that the parents have for that child to grow into. So the name Judah means praise. May this son grow to praise the Lord. Or Samuel from Shmuel, the Lord hears. May the Lord hear your prayers and be attentive to your cry. Now, when you come to the name of God, you ask, well, which one? Because the Bible has over 300 different names or titles for God, each one revealing yet a different aspect of his character, sort of like a diamond with 300 facets. You turn it and you understand something different of its beauty, each name revealing another characteristic of God. The name Elohim, most often used in the Old Testament, used about 2,000 times, which generally means God, but it speaks of the mighty God, the faithful God, the creator God. Or the term Adonai, which is the Lord, speaks of the master and the relationship the servant has toward his master. Then there's the sacred name, Yahweh, where God introduced himself to Moses, I am that I am. And honestly, as I've said, we don't know how it's pronounced. It's the tetragrammaton, the ineffable name of God, the unpronounceable name of God. It's so sacred that Orthodox Jews to this day don't even write it. They write capital G-D as if to imply God, so as to revere his name. So God's name, the name or the names of God, principally Yahweh, isn't just a name or a title, but it speaks of character, reputation, and authority. So think back to David and Goliath. Think back to David going to the battlefield, and there's Goliath facing off with him, this huge giant. But David says to him, hey, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. I'm coming in the character, reputation, and authority of God, the name of God. So to use his name in a way that's not true to his character, reputation, or authority is to take his name in vain. If you were to slur the name of Buddha, oh, and by the way, you notice that doesn't happen. When is the last time you heard somebody get really mad and go, "Oh, Buddha"? But if you were to slur the name Buddha publicly, you'd probably have the ACLU after you. You'd get in trouble. If you were to defame the name of Moses, you might have the Anti-Defamation League after you. If you were to take the name Martin Luther King Jr. and mock that name publicly, you'd have the NAACP after you. If you misuse the name Muhammad in some parts of the world, they'll kill you. And yet, how many movies and television shows will say, "Oh God," or "Oh Christ," or "Oh Jesus Christ," in not a flattering or way of praise, but in a defaming way? Nobody thinks anything about it. Or what about those who name the name of Christ but use his name lightly? I've heard people tell me, "You know, God told me such and such. I don't deny that God can speak. I know he can speak, but I cringe when I hear that because there's a lot of times I don't know if God spoke to me or not. I don't know if it's an impression I got or if I got a principle from reading the word, but to use that word lightly and say, "God spoke to me," suddenly puts you in a high class. Like, well, who's going to argue with you? God speaks to you. But what if God didn't speak to you? Let's just suppose God didn't. What if it was a late night burrito you had? Then you just took the name of God in vain. It is not to be taken lightly on your lips. So names are sacred. We're not to misuse them. But then words. Words are sacred, and this commandment takes that into consideration, that words themselves, especially when you bring into those words the name of God, are very sacred. Whether they're spoken or emailed or sung. Jesus said this, "I say to you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So here's a question. How do people today take the name of the Lord in vain with their words? Two ways. One's pretty obvious, one may not be so obvious. The first is profanity. Profanity is where you degrade God's name. You use it in a coarse manner. You ask God to damn something or doom. Basically, that's what it means to doom to destruction, which is not his heart. So, let's say you're working on a project in the garage or out back, guys, and you're using a hammer and nails. And you hit the nail on the head, you hit the second one on the head, but the third time you slip. And the head of the hammer doesn't hit the head of the nail, but it hits the nail of your thumb really hard. And so you let out that horrible word, asking God to damn it, to doom that to destruction. First of all, how utterly stupid. Here you are, you've worked hours on a project, now you're asking God, invoking God, to doom to destruction what you've just made. Lame, dumb, stupid. Or even worse, when somebody asks God to damn a person. Now, that does not represent God's character, God's reputation, or God's authority. God isn't about condemning people. God's all about saving people. Peter said, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That would be taking his name in vain. Jesus said, "God did not send his Son into the world to damn or condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Go back to 1946 in your mind. Some of you can't do it because you weren't alive then. I wasn't alive then, but a movie came out during that time that has been rerun, and I bet you've seen it because it's on the air every Christmas. It's called It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. How many of you have ever seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Okay, see, you don't show your age because of the reruns. In 1946, when that movie first came out, the original script was censored by a committee that censors these things, saying it's unsuitable for audiences to hear certain words. And here's the words that were taken out as unsuitable. Jerk. Lousy. God. Dang. Impotent. And garlic eaters. They were censored from the original script, deemed unacceptable. Well, that was then. What about now? Well, in 1 year presently of primetime television, there will be 23,566 uses of profanity, far worse than jerk or lousy. In fact, in many of those instances that are played in your television sets and in your living rooms every night, the name of God or Jesus is used in a very demeaning way. And you hear it over and over and over again. And here's the problem. What happens when you hear it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? You become desensitized to it. And people in hearing that become desensitized to the greatness of that name, the splendor of that name, the uniqueness of that name, because of the way it's been misused. So some are going to hear this message and say, well, then Skip, what am I going to say if I hit my thumb with a hammer? You're going to say, bless the Lord that it was only my thumb. Especially if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians tells us, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you ought to answer every man. You see, children of the king ought to have the language of the court. Exalted language, not demeaning language. So profanity is one way where people abuse words with God's name of it. Here's the second way, hypocrisy. Not just profanity, hypocrisy. That is where people take the name of God to themselves. I am a Christian. I'm a follower of God. But it's a profession without a practice. It's words without a walk. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
It's never any fun when someone disparages our good name. So why would we think that God feels any different about his name? Part of our love and respect for Almighty God comes from how we talk about him. So the question remains, how have you used his name lately? One of the most common ways we use his name is in our prayers. But the question again remains, are we using it properly? To help you find the answer to that and other questions about prayer, this month we've created a special collection of resources for you. And here's more.
There are lots of different kinds of prayer. There's the before dinner prayer.
Lord, we ask your blessing.
There's the panic before the big test prayer. And there's the being cut off on the freeway by a discourteous driver prayer. But shouldn't prayer be more than that? Shouldn't our prayers go deeper than that? This month, Skip Heitzig and The Connection want to help you discover the true power and privilege of prayer with the Prayer Points resource package. Included is Skip's book, When God Prays, where you'll learn how to pray from Jesus' example. Then in Chuck Smith's book, Prayer, Our Glorious Privilege, you'll discover why we should cherish the gift of prayer. And lastly, in Pray This Way by Skip Heitzig, you'll discover practical ways to become a true prayer warrior. Get all three resources this month for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
And when you contact us to order that Prayer Points resource package, we'd also like to get you a copy of today's message so you can review it again later or share it with someone you know. Just give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org and pick up a copy today for just $6, which also includes shipping. You can also reach us when you write us at The Connection. Our mailing address, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Join us next time as we learn more about the importance of watching what we say, especially what we say about God, here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.